something. Because I believe that prophetically I have a message for you today. I really do. And I want you to get this because I believe there's some people in this room that you have gone through a tough season in your life. You've gone through a season of possibly loss, a failure, where you don't feel like you necessarily measure up. And I want to show you what that means this morning and give you a specific prophetic word about that. But I'm going to read again Ruth chapter 2, verse 1 through 16. Follow along with me because there's something I want to launch from into another message, but I believe it's prophetic. I was awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning with the Lord telling me some things. And I want to show you that and launch from this place. So it says, "Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one whose sight I might find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'May the Lord be with you.' And they said to him, 'May the Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to the servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' The servant in charge of the reapers replied, 'She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab.' And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw.' Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?' Boaz replied to her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge.' Then she said, 'I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants.' At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers. She served her roasted grain. She ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, 'Let her glean among the sheaves and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean and not rebuke her.'" Now, I want you to know something, folks. We've got to understand that when they left, when they came to this place, they left because they were in famine. Their loved ones had died. Husbands had died. They were in famine. So if you were in a season of loss, if you've gone through a season of loss, this is pretty good all of a sudden. So you're in famine. You have nothing. And all of a sudden, someone who is rich has paid attention to you, and they're making sure that you have provision. Now, if you have come through a hard thing into that, that's a pretty good place to be. But I have a word for you today. She didn't stop there. In this portion of Scripture, she admits out her mouth that she has favor. But she didn't stop with favor. I'm trying to tell you that you can go through things in your life that will, because they are so bad that when you get anything that's a little bit good, you will stop there and like it. She did not stop there and like it. She went past favor. I'm talking to some people that have had trouble in your life. And when you've had great trouble in your life, eating every week sounds pretty good. But that's not the life God intended for you. Sometimes the things that we go through cause us to stop short of what He really has for us. This is so prophetically stirring in me. But I want you to see, first of all, she could have stopped there. She would have lived the rest of her life. She would have been sustained. But God did not order her just to be sustained. He ordered her to have something better than what she left before the famine and the death happened. I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to give you a prophetic word today that some of you have gone through some hard things and you've gotten to a certain point where it feels a little bit better and you're okay with staying there. But that's not His intended place for you. She could have stopped at favor. She could have stopped at having enough to eat. But she didn't stop at favor. This story continued to go. When you've lost everything, though, it's a pretty good place. But just favor wasn't enough. God has something besides that favor. That was only the open door. Some people in this room, folks, it's easy when you've had a horrible time that when you get just a little ounce of favor, you think, man, who is this good? And you're not even close to what He has for you. Ruth chapter 3 verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter Boaz, shall I not seek security for you? My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maid you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor." And this is where we went through last week. She gave her instructions about what to do. But see, when you see kinsman, the original language is redeemer. Yes, I know, Ruth, that we can eat now. But there's a bigger picture here. Don't settle for just eating, Ruth. You have come face to face with your redeemer. This is just small potatoes, this little favor you've into. He's got much more than you gleaning with his maids. He's got something set up for you to live in his house. So you must not settle for following his maids and gleaning when he's got a place for you in his house at his feet. And see, when you go through hard things in your life and you get back to some semblance of normal, you're okay. Man, I'm glad it's not as bad as it used to be. Maybe it might not be as bad as it used to be, but He's got something much better for you, and you must not settle for where you are because there's something else. Ruth chapter 3 verse 7. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. She came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" She answered, "I am Ruth, your maid." "So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." She did not stop with favor. She went for redemption. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and told me to tell you, don't settle. She did not settle for favor. She went on to full redemption. She looked him in the eye and said, "Sir, you're my redeemer. Yes, I thank you that I am with your maids and that I'm not going hungry. But I see that there's more that you can do for me." She did not settle. "May you be blessed to the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. For all my people in the city know, however, there, all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. Now it is true I am a close relative. Now I'm true. I'm your redeemer. I can redeem you, lady. However, there is a relative closer than I. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good. Let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. She was saying to him, you are a redeemer. So she did not stop with favor. She went on for redemption. And that's what I'm trying to, when you've gone through a tough season, it's very easy for you to adopt a mindset of settling. I've had a bad season. Or two. Went to North Carolina, thought I was following Jesus, and lost everything I had. Hello? So when you've lost everything you have, you can settle into a mindset that if you're just paying your bills now, you're blessed. But the word of the Lord today is, folks, don't settle. There's more than that. When you've gone through something really hard, something halfway good is real good, and you can settle there. But the word of the Lord is, don't settle. This is such a prophetic word in me. Don't settle. Yes, it's better. But there's more. I've told you over and over. Looked at 15 people for years. Y'all look pretty good sitting there. But don't get comfortable. Don't settle. This is just the beginning.
That's right.
See, when you... this, I can liken this to destiny also. If you've had a hard time getting any part of your destiny to come to pass, when just a little bit comes, you can settle. But she didn't settle. God has given me a prophetic word to us not to settle. You can grab it if you want to, but I've already grabbed it. I'm not settling. Yes, it's better now than it was in North Carolina, but it's still not what he intends. Don't settle. And when you've been through a tough season, it's easy to get a mindset, and then you start to think anything is good. If you're hungry enough, scraps are good. But it's not his intended life for you. Are you hearing the word this morning? Once you go through a time of loss, it's easy to be content with anything good. Because compared to where you've been, it's good. But God does not want you to settle for good. And thus, in the middle of the night, I shared this word. But the Lord said, don't settle for less than the Father's intended blessing for you. The price has already been paid. We can settle into a place that's less than his full intention for us. And it'd be pretty good. But the price, he said, the price has already been paid for the full intended blessing. See, Ruth here had some blessing. She went from famine to, and the Bible says she just happened to show up at the field of a redeemer. And she just happened to get favor. Are you hearing the Holy Spirit this morning? Well, I'm just happy to have a job. Oh, I hear you. Please hear me. Some of you this morning are just happy to have a job. He didn't intend for you just have a job. He intended for you to have $16 to $20 an hour and vacation time and days off. But you're okay just to have a job. Because you've not had a job, and it wasn't fun. So at least, gosh, this is I'm telling you, this is a prophetic word. Don't settle for that. There's more. The full intended blessing. She didn't stop with just a little blessing. She got the full intended blessing. And the Lord has given me a prophetic word to you not to stop where you are. Yes, it's better than where you were, but it's not His full intended blessing for you. Now, I'm going to show you a couple pictures of this in Scripture. Gosh, that's just, ooh, I just feel the Holy Spirit all over this word. Don't settle. Do you want to settle for good instead of God? He has an intended will for you, an intended blessing. You have an inheritance. And you can become content with just a fraction of your inheritance. You can do that if you want to, but this old boy is not going to do it. Some way, somehow, and see, a lot of it contingent upon my big thick head. A lot of it is a contingent upon me changing my character and my nature. But I don't know about you, but if I have to change me to get the full blessing, I'm working on me. Because I'm going to get the full blessing. I don't want to stop with a third, and I don't want to stop with 50%. I want every intended blessing He has for me. And if that means me getting myself right, then I'm going to get myself right. Sometimes we settle because we don't really want to deal with us. Because I can't handle His blessing with my character that maybe that I have now. So to get the fullness of His blessing, I've got to get more character. Jeremiah Johnson. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to tell you, don't settle. Don't let the fact that you don't want to face your shortcomings stop you from going on. It's worth it for me to look in the mirror and say, sir, you need to change this. Because when I come to the end of the next year, it might have been hard for me to face up to some areas of my life that weren't good. But when I'm walking in the intended blessing, I'll thank God for every minute that I chose to look at my mess. Change your mess and go on to the intended blessing. Jesus is preaching this morning. What were we talking about? Don't settle. Gosh, I'm telling you, this word is just rocking inside of me. Don't settle for good. Don't settle for just enough. Let's get His intended blessing. So when you go through things, folks, when you go through things, there tends to be a mentality come that anything is good enough. And now let's look at a familiar portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 15. I'm going to show you this in two different places. Luke 15, 11 through 32. I'm going to read you a story about you this morning. In one sense or another. Maybe not with your relationship with Jesus, but this is you. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now I want you to notice, here's where we get to our first problem. Who chose to do this? He chose to do it, didn't he? Well, see, that's the first problem we encounter. Sometimes that's why we settle for less than the full intended blessing, because we know that it was our stupidity that got us in the mess to start with. So if God graces us enough just to get a little bit of it back, it's a pretty good life. We live knowing I did something stupid. And if you're not careful, a mindset sets into you that I don't deserve the full intended blessing because I made this mess myself. He chose to leave. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. From inheritance to living with pigs. And unfortunately, not eating the pigs, but eating with the pigs. I'd be okay if I was eating the pigs. Bacon, sausage, tutors, where they know me and love me. It's my cheers. Tutors is my cheers. They don't know my name, but they know my face. I go, when you go through there and they say, "Where's the dog at?" Hello. Let me tell you, when you go through and they give you bacon for the dog that's not there, that's, yeah. That's favor right there, baby. Oh, help us, Lord. Merry Christmas. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with the hungry?" Now, what's happening right here? He right now, folks, is doing what some of us do. He's making a decision to settle right here because he doesn't think he's good enough. He starts thinking in terms of hired servants, not sons. I really ought to say that again. He starts thinking right here like a hired servant. He's lost his ability to think like a son because of the injury that the circumstances of his life have caused him. And after all, he created it. So the best he can hope for is not sonship. Gosh, I feel the Lord. Not sonship, but hired servant. Not having rewards in heaven, but just not going to hell. See, your mask causes you to think like a hired servant. He never changed his mind about you being a son. But you thinking like a hired servant causes you to settle with the mess you got because it's pretty good. Glory to God. Glory to God, Andre would say. So, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants?" He's thinking like a hired servant. Well, I won't have what I used to have, but at least I can get what the servants get. "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants." And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a he said, "I'm no longer worthy." Now, what I'm trying to get you to see is you can look at your mess and you can start to feel unworthy to get his intended blessing because you're looking at you. After all, I created this mess. And you let yourself become and wear something that makes you feel unworthy. So when you feel unworthy, you're satisfied with any good thing because you don't feel valuable enough to get his best. You're afraid to even let it enter. We're afraid to even let it enter our mind to get the best because after all, we've messed up. So if we can just get to hired service, when you're in the pig pen eating with pigs, the hired servant status seems pretty good. Because you got unworthiness. So he goes to the Father and unworthiness has settled in on him and he's coming from the mindset of being unworthy. I hear you, Holy Ghost. What are you forfeiting this morning because you feel unworthy? What is it that you're not willing to get up and fight for because you feel used up and messed up and unworthy? You can't get his intended blessing until you get your unworthy mindset from you. Gotta let that unworthiness go. I hear lots of noises. He must be in here. Are you hearing me? That's what he sent me to tell you. You keep thinking about whether you're worthy or not. Well, let's see how the story goes. I'm no longer worthy. He arose. He came to his father. But when he was yet a long ways off, his father saw him. He had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm not worthy to be your son. I'm not worthy. Look at the response of your daddy this morning. Take that place in your life where you had mess and you don't feel worthy and see this picture. He said, I'm not worthy. I hear you. Some of you people have gone through some bad things and you don't feel worthy to receive His best. But look at His response to you this morning. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, this is you I'm talking about here. This is you that made the wrong decisions and got into the mess. He said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and put shoes on his feet. Bring a fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found. Come on, are you seeing it? Yes. Bring forth the best robe. Not one that's been hanging in the closet with moss on it because he messed up. Bring forth the best one we got in the house because I still my intended blessing is still coming on him. Yes. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. That robe signifies relationship and righteousness. The robe that was intended for you when you got on the wrong path is still hanging in the closet, waiting on Daddy to come and throw it on you. Nobody else can wear the robe that He set aside for you. You must not settle for second best. Whew. Glory to God. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. A ring on his hand means authority. Well, I might just be able to come to church and go to heaven, but he'll never be able to use me to operate in my gift and calling because after all, I did X, Y, and Z. No, baby. He said the ring. Put it on him. Give him back his robe. Give him back his relationship. Give him back his standing. Give him back his authority. He has equal authority in this house. He has the same authority he had when he left. Don't settle! Shoo, Lord, you need to wake me up at 3:00 in the morning more often. Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, here's what the Lord began to tell me. See, he comes back saying, I'm unworthy. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Feeling unworthy because of our choices and mistakes causes us to settle for less than he has intended. Hear this statement from the Holy Spirit. Let this sink in today. It's not a matter of whether we are worthy. It's a matter of the Father's heart toward us. You can get healed right there in that spot. It's not a matter of whether we're worthy. It's a matter of the Father's heart to restore us. And you will settle if you don't know the Father's heart. He was thinking hired servant. Daddy was thinking, you're still my son. You can't be thinking worthy. You've got to be understanding the heart of the Father toward you. Because guess what? You're not worthy. But his heart toward you trumps your unworthiness. That's good. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. See, what am I saying? Don't settle for less than the Father's intended blessing for you. Now, this is the thing the Lord told me in the middle of the night, the rest of it. You better let this sink in. Don't settle for less than the Father's intended blessing for you. The price has already been paid. Walk in the intended blessing. You are a son, not a hired servant. Even your enemies cannot stop what he has planned for you. Even the ones who say you don't deserve it cannot stop what he has for you. Even the ones who are jealous of you cannot stop what he has for you. You better hear me. That's worth saying again. Even your enemies cannot stop what he has planned for you. Even the ones who say you don't deserve it can't stop it. And even the ones that are jealous of you can't stop it. But you'll let them take it from you if you let that mindset of unworthiness come and you settle for where you are. Don't settle. The Father's idea of restoration for you is not being a second-class citizen because of the mistakes you've made. Should I say that again? The Father's idea of restoration is not being a second-class citizen because of the mistakes you've made. He restores to you your previous state and beyond your previous state.
That's right.
Do not settle for less than his original intended blessing for your life, your inheritance. Step out of unworthiness and come into the fullness of the Father's blessing for your life. Let the past be the past. Let him put a robe of righteousness on you so he looks at his righteousness, not your mistakes. Let him put the ring of authority on your finger. Your latter shall be greater than your former. Don't settle. 2 Samuel 4:4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son, showing you a picture again, had a son that was lame on his feet, and he was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. And David said, this is 2 Samuel 9:1-11. And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was one of the house of Saul, a certain servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? He said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar. Lodebar means a place without pasture. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house. Fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. And here Mephibosheth said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? He was ready to settle. He had already settled in to not being a king's son. He had already settled into the misfortune of his life. I can just see him sitting around imagining, oh, if it hadn't went this way. What if my daddy was king? I wouldn't be living this way. And if my daddy was king, this would have never happened. And I wouldn't be lame. See, can you see the unworthiness and the problem? He see, he calls himself a dog. Oh, hear me. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given unto you your master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table. Come on now. 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 11. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. He went from this place of settling to sitting around eating with the king every day. I'm trying to tell some people, yes, I know you got some mess, but it's time to shake off your unworthiness, because his plan for you has not changed. You are not used up. He's got a plan for you to go from your place of loss to sitting around the king with or table with kings and eating the best that life has to offer you. Don't settle. Joel 2:25. And I will restore the years. And I will restore the years. And I will restore the years. Don't settle, sir. I will restore the years. Don't settle, ma'am. I will restore the years. Come on, you hear that in your spirit? Job 42:10. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Don't settle for just getting back. Don't settle for getting just almost to where you were. When it was all over, he got double for his trouble. Don't settle. Thank you, Lord. Come on, if this word is spoken to you and you see where you're settling for less than his intended blessing, I want you to come forward right now. Don't do it for me, do it for you. Come on. You're seeing where you're settling. You're just settling when there's a better life for you. I'm going to belabor this. I'm just going to pray over you. Father, we thank you right now. We're not settling. Oh, I can see it, folks. Some of you got ministry gifts and you settled. You just said, well, it's just, I'll never use this gift again. Father, I just thank you right now that you brought this prophetic word. This is the word from heaven right here. I break the mindset off of you that causes you to settle for less. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon you this morning, and that something on the inside of you would begin to be stirred, and you would say, I will lay hold of what's mine. I will not settle for scraps. I will not settle for second. I will not settle. Come on, I want you to say it. Begin to say, I will not settle. Come on, say it. I will not settle. I will receive your intended blessing for me, Lord. Come on, say it. Come on, repent. Say, I repent right now for allowing unworthiness to come to me. I repent right now for putting the focus on my worthiness and not your goodness. Can't you feel that moving across this room right now? Come on, some of you are getting free right now. It's time to quit beating yourself up. You are not less. You did not choose what happened to you. Move on. It's over. I break that thing that makes you feel used up and less than. I say, let the Lord restore the honor to you that was taken. Yes, Lord. Seal her in you, God. Come on, folks. Come on, Lord. Let this word get in their spirit. Come on, I am not settling. You've let the enemy come and cause you to settle. Some of you right here standing in this room, you've said in your mind that you're going to be an old maid. You hear me right now? That's not the Lord's plan for you. Don't settle. Oh, you feel him moving across this room. Come on, let him heal you. Come on, just begin to say over and over, I won't settle. I'm telling you, Lord, I won't settle. Come on, you need to get face to face with him and say, Lord, I will not settle. I'll have your best. I'll have the intended blessing. Come on, man, he's doing something in this room. Come on, the intended blessing. You're not a second class citizen, I'm telling you right now. You don't have to wallow around in your mistakes another day. He's forgiven you. He's Daddy God, and he has the same robe for you, and he has the same ring for your finger, and you're not a hired servant. You are a son. Come on, let go right now. You're the one who keeps bringing it up. He's forgot about it. Pray that the revelation would come. Oh yes, I'm gonna say something. It's time now for you to quit living a bastard's lifestyle. You are every much a son and a daughter, just as much a son and a daughter as anyone else in the kingdom of God. Come on. We thank you, Lord, right now. Let it go. Some of you need to let it go. You got to choose. You got to walk out of this place today knowing that I'm getting my full intended inheritance and blessing. I don't have to settle for scraps. I don't have to settle for second best. Come on, he's moving right now. Come on. I break that right now, that mindset that thinks because of things in your past that you can't get his best. You are a daughter of God and you deserve his best. Receive his best. Shh. Come on, there's lots of emotional wounds here. There's some women here that have been wounded. And because of things that you have done or things that have been done to you or things that you participated in, you feel used up. You feel used up and you don't feel like... See, you women... I know I have daughters. You better hear this. Daughters have such a need on the inside of them for daddy to tell them they're beautiful. Whew. Oh. When daughters buy something new, they run to daddy and they say, "Daddy, how does this look? Oh, look, daddy, what I've got." And some of you have lost your ability to come to daddy because you don't know how he sees you. But you are the apple of his eye, and he's never changed his mind and heart toward you. Come on, women, there's healing in this place. You quit running to daddy. Come on, there's something going on. The enemy's come and he's caused you not to run to daddy and say, "Daddy, look at this, daddy. Look at this, daddy." Oh, we break that unworthiness, Lord. Lord, please do what I don't have the ability to do. Take this feeling of unworthiness. Cause these daughters of God to leave this place healed in their emotions. That they would not... Right now, I pray with all these ladies that you, the wall that's between them and getting in their daddy's lap, I pray that you would break it right now, God. Come on back to your daddy's lap. His thoughts have not changed toward you. The abuse that you suffered did not change his view of you. Oh, vacarejo soto cojo. Healing, Lord. Shubarabapapasete. Oh, come on, he's doing something in your emotions right now. I am not used up. I am not trash. Come on, let that sink in. You better hear the word of the Lord. You're a daddy's girl. Hear it right now. Let that sink into your spirit. That's the word of the Lord. Some of you will be free for the rest of your life right now if you'll say out your mouth, "I'm a daddy's girl." Come on, begin to say that to yourself. I am daddy's girl. Come on, there's healing coming in. Keep saying it. You got to get that revelation. The results of being deserted and left alone. No more hurt. Shh. Come on, let him cleanse it. You better hear me. Young girls want their daddy to tell them they're beautiful. Come on, say out your mouth, "My daddy says I'm beautiful." Now, there are men in this room. The thing with men is they want their dad to be proud of them. There are men in this room who never heard, "Son, I'm proud of you." You need to get the revelation this morning that your daddy is proud of you. Come on, as men, I want you to say, "My daddy is proud of me." Watch some things leave you right now. Come on, "My daddy's proud of me." Men search for approval. Even when we get married, we want one thing. We'll do anything on earth for somebody, our wife, to approve us. If you want us to do anything in the world, get approval of who we are. Don't nag, approve. Because that's just the way we are. If you tell us we're great, I'm trying to speak to some men right now. Your daddy never told you you were great. You live with something where you never measured up to who you thought he thought you should be. And you've lived with woundedness and hurt and pain. But receive it in your spirit this morning. Your daddy is proud of you. Some of you didn't even have daddies at all standing in this room right now. And you need to receive into your spirit, my daddy is proud of me. Something going on, folks. Oh, Lord, you said that you would be a father to the fatherless. You said you're the father to the fatherless. Come on. Come on, get the revelation of him as your father, your daddy this morning. Come on, I'm my daddy's daughter. I'm my daddy's son.
My daddy's proud of me.
Come on, say that, Brooke. Come on, my daddy's proud.
My daddy's proud of me. He's proud of me. My daddy's proud of me.
Come on, daddy's girls. Father's sons.
My daddy's proud.
Some of you have been striving for years to get acceptance. Let him do it this morning.
My daddy's proud of me.
Come on, I bless my brother, Lord. Heal every hurt, every pain, every wound. Break the curse of fatherlessness.
My daddy's proud of me.
I've not called you a servant, I've called you a son. Come on, some men need to let that sink in. He's not called you servant. He's called you son. Revelation of your sonship.
My daddy's proud of me.
Oh, la ba 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 ba.
My daddy's proud of me.
Come on, folks. Tenderness. Let that spirit of a little girl and a little boy return to you right now. Before it all got messed up, let it return to you right now. Oh, restoration, Lord. Some of you, this really spoke this morning because you've done some big blunders. But it hasn't changed your daddy's plan for you.
My daddy's proud of me.
Don't blame yourself anymore. It ends today. There are things in the relationship where you blame yourself for others, and you say, if I had just not made my mistakes, things wouldn't be this way. It's over today. Your children make their own choices, and you're not responsible for their choices, and you're not to blame. You're not to blame. Let all that go. That place where you go and say, well, if I would have just did this and that, things would be different. Come on back up in daddy's lap.
My daddy's proud of me.
Come on, folks. some men in this place don't need to be afraid to cry. Come on, he's cleansing you. Receive your dad's love this morning. Father, we just say receive the love of a father. Fatherlessness, we break it, Lord, right now. Curse the fatherlessness. Come on, your daddy's proud of you. He knows you did not mean it. He knows you did not mean to do this thing.
My daddy's proud of me.
Father, we just release the love of a father right now, God. Lord, just cause your liquid love.
My daddy's proud of me.
Let a manifestation of your love come over her now, God.
My daddy's proud of me.
Beautiful.
I am righteous, beautiful.
Beauty.
And I am clean.
Come on, let that sink in. Your daddy says you're beautiful.
I am beautiful, righteous before you.
He approves of you. Any place in your life where you felt like that you've not measured up or been able to please, your daddy says you're beautiful.